President Biden held his second State of the Union address last night, where he highlighted his work on top issues surrounding the economy, healthcare, and infrastructure. He pushed for more bipartisan cooperation, but also leveled criticism at some Republicans, leading to outbursts and jeers from lawmakers in the crowd.
Some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset. I'm not saying it's a majority.
Let me give you, anybody who doubts it, contact my office. I'll give you a copy. I'll give you a copy of the proposal. That means Congress doesn't vote. Well, I'm glad to see you. No, I tell you, I enjoy conversion.
Some Republican members of Congress interrupted him a few times throughout the speech and provided a snapshot of the current political landscape in Washington. Allison Prash is an assistant professor of rhetoric, politics, and culture at UW-Madison. Her research and teaching focuses on U.S. presidential rhetoric, public address, and foreign policy. Allison, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, maybe it's obvious from that clip, but what stood out to you the most from the State of the Union address?
Well, you know, as you noted, there was obviously this attempt by the president to talk about bipartisanship, but also clear heckling from Republican lawmakers. You know, what I think is interesting is that Biden really utilized this moment to both speak to his desire for bipartisanship, but to also meet the Republicans where they were. I mean, I think in the last 10, 15 years, we've really seen a decrease in some of the political decorum that you would have expect in a State of the Union address. There's the pomp and the circumstance that we often associate with it. But in the last 10 years, you've seen that really decrease. You can think about, for example, in 2009, when Representative Joe Wilson interrupts Barack Obama and says, "You lie." You can think about Nancy Pelosi making the decision to rip up Trump's State of the Union speech in 2020. And so I think Biden knew that he was going into a fraught political environment, and he also took the opportunity to use it to his advantage.
Now, the State of the Union, I know we in the media get really excited about it. How much does it matter as a chance for the president to address the members of Congress in person, of course, but the viewers at home as well?
Well, obviously, he's speaking, attempting to speak to a vast swath of the electorate. I think we often see these memorable news clips that come out of the speech, such as the one that you played in the introduction. But you know what? I think what Biden is doing today and tomorrow, we see this through his visit to the Madison area in particular, is taking key aspects of his message and then sharing them with a broader public. So it's one thing to see the president speaking from the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. It's another thing to see him touting his accomplishments or his message to ordinary people. And that's what he's doing today in Madison, and he'll do later this week in Florida.
Now, these speeches often end up being kind of a laundry list of, here's what we've done, here's what we're trying to do. How much of that did you see in this speech versus the bipartisan outreach, the opposite of bipartisan needling of the other party?
It was, in some sense, a laundry list of accomplishments. A lot of political commentators have been talking about the fact that this was really an attempt for Biden and his advisors to do a test run of some of his key core messaging for 2024. I mean, I think you did see some of that last night. I will also say, though, that there was a bit more fiery language or interest, political spectacle, we could say, in this exchange between Biden and members of the House. But you also saw Biden's clear rhetorical style, his ability in the moment when individuals might have been heckling him to try and get him off script. He was able to engage with them in a way that is quite remarkable, particularly for someone who's been open about the fact that he deals with a speech impediment. And so he was able to really engage with hecklers, with Republicans, and still amplify his political messaging in a way that we haven't seen in a very long time.
Well, it's interesting because I think through his career, President Biden has not been known as someone who delivers a script really well. If anything, people see his ability to react in the moment as something he's actually stronger at. So it seemed like Republican leadership was trying not to give him those opportunities.
I think you're absolutely correct. And aides will often say that Biden is really energized by these individual exchanges from people. Oftentimes, they're talking about ordinary voters, walking the rope lines. This was a really unique moment in which, who knows about the intentions of these hecklers, but it could have been seen as an attempt to really throw him off script, really phase him in a particular way. But Biden looked like he was relishing the opportunity. And in fact, there's this memorable moment where Biden is saying to his audience, okay, stand up for seniors. If you're really saying that you're not going to cut Medicare, cut Social Security, stand up. And at the State of the Union, we pay a lot of attention to who is standing or applauding about particular proposals. And Biden really forced his audience to take a stand quite literally on where they stood on this issue in a way that I think is going to come back perhaps to haunt some Republicans going forward.
Talking to Allison Prash from UW-Madison, Assistant Professor of Rhetoric, Politics, and Culture, looking at last night's State of the Union address. You could join in with your reactions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. When it came to the framing of key issues, we talked a little bit about Medicare and Social Security, police reform, things like that. What do you make of the way that President Biden presented those issues, I think, trying to reach out not just to supporters, but to, I guess, a hypothetical middle America?
He absolutely did. I mean, I think that's one of the things that would characterize what Biden has attempted to do over the last 2 years. There was, you know, this phrase that he kept utilizing in the speech, finish the job, finish the job. He utilized this over a dozen times. And really the message that he was trying to send to, you know, perhaps undecided voters or the middle of the road voter is, you're tired of bickering. You're tired of partisan infighting. Here are the clear policies and proposals that I'm putting forward that's going to impact real everyday working Americans, is how he framed it. And so, you know, whether that reached those particular voters remains to be seen, but I think he was attempting to do so.
Now, it's kind of always election season in the United States. That said, the State of the Union happens about as far away from the next federal election, especially in an odd-numbered year. Is this an opportunity for a Democratic president and a Republican House majority to work together a little bit, to compromise a little bit, and know that some of that's going to fade away before they have to run for election again?
The optimist in me says yes. The pessimist in me says that it remains to be seen how Speaker McCarthy and a new Republican-controlled House of Representatives wants to foil Biden's plans. They know that he is most likely, if not certainly, going to announce his decision to run again in 2024. We also know that Donald Trump has already announced his bid for 2024. And so if Republican members of Congress wanted to get something done, they might attempt to compromise, but they may also see their job as an attempt to be a needle in Biden's side going into the general election.
Now, we've got Sarah Sanders delivering the Republican response. She's a governor, of course, but she's best known nationally, I think, for her time speaking for the Trump administration. What do you think of that? What do you make of that selection of her to give that response, which is always a tough gig, no matter which party's doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at what both Speaker McCarthy and also Mitch McConnell said about their selection of her to give that response, it was really stressing a new generation of Republican leadership. There's this memorable line that she says in the speech that I'm the nation's youngest governor at 40, Biden's the oldest president at 80. So she's really trying to put a stark contrast both on Biden's age, which many people see as a liability, both Republicans and Democrats, but she's really trying to subtly suggest that it's time for a new wave of Republican leadership. Now, she doesn't name Trump directly, but there is that inference, and I think that is part of a larger conversation about, is DeSantis, Republican governor of Florida, going to enter the race? Other possible challengers to Trump, and that remains to be seen.
Yeah, some changing of the guard here. Again, two of the oldest presidents in American history have been the last two presidents. But then we see Speaker Nancy Pelosi now not taking on the mantle of minority leader. Are you seeing signs of more generational shifts in who's leading this country?
I mean, I think the general voter would like to see those shifts. I think one of the problems or conundrums that we see is that there can be this kind of dominance of age that continues. It's also the case that it's difficult to look at who would be the next nominee for the Democratic Party, for example, just as it is a conversation about, you know, who would be that next nominee for the Republican Party. We know historically that younger presidential candidates have done quite well. You look at Barack Obama, for example, or John F. Kennedy. Those were, you know, very successful first bids for president. But it remains to be seen how that's going to play out for 2024.
I wanted to ask you more specifically about the decorum issue. You know, we have the heckling during the thing. It was a little more like the British Parliament a little bit. Does it matter, though? I mean, are we really decorum-y people in the United States? Do we care if it's a little bit of rough and tumble in this big annual address?
You know, I think that there is the image or the ideal that exists in the mind of the American electorate of what a State of the Union address looks like, sounds like. the moment where, you know, the person introducing the president says, you know, Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States. I think for some people, however, there could be an appeal to the back and forth exchanges between Biden and Republicans in this instance. In fact, in some ways, it does remind me of Trump's rhetorical style and how, as president, he would often interrupt or provide these asides. It's a much more informal style of speaking and communicating. I think there is something different, though, about the pomp and circumstance of the State of the Union. But then again, Biden demonstrated his ability to handle it quite well and, in fact, use it to his political advantage. So it remains to be seen if this will be, you know, a change in how we think about State of the Union addresses or if this is just a one-off. And I don't know. It remains to be seen.
You mentioned the president's visit today to Wisconsin. We get a lot of love here in Wisconsin. We're a very closely divided state when it comes to statewide elections. Do you expect to see lots and lots of presidential contenders make their way through Wisconsin the next couple of years?
I do. I mean, we saw both in 2016 and 2020 how pivotal the state of Wisconsin was. I think it's also important to remember that Republicans are poised to host the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee in 2024. And so that is always a big boost to the image of that particular party in the state. So I think Biden making the decision to come to both Wisconsin and Madison as his first stop after the State of the Union is incredibly important. I think that we'll see a majority of contenders coming through the state. And I think it's going to play a really important role in the 2024 presidential election overall.
Allison, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Allison Prash, an assistant professor of rhetoric, politics, and culture at UW-Madison. She was with us today to look at President Biden and how he handled his second State of the Union address and some outbursts from lawmakers in the crowd.